الحمد لله الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله تعالى من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدًا عبد الله ورسوله أرسله بالحق بشيرًا ونذيرًا وداعيًا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجًا منيرًا، أرسله رحمةً للعالمين وهدايةً للخلق أجمعين، صلى الله وسلم وبارك عليه وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين وصحابته الغر الميامين والتابعين لهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، عباد الله، أوصيكم ونفسي الخاطئة المذنبة بتقوى الله، وأحثكم على طاعة الله، فاتقوا الله عباد الله، اتقوا الله تعالى في أنفسكم، اتقوا الله تعالى في أهليكم وأولادكم، اتقوا الله تعالى في أعمالكم ومعاملاتكم، اتقوا الله تعالى في جميع شؤونكم وفي أوقات حياتكم وأعمالكم. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم، إن زلزلة الساعة شيء عظيم، يوم ترونها تذهل كل مرضعة عما أرضعت وتضع كل ذات حمل حملها وترى الناس سكارى وما هم بسكارى ولكن عذاب الله شديد. Brothers and sisters, honorable guests, we gather on this Friday for a special event. It is to honor one of our brothers who sacrificed his life for the sake of God, for the sake of humanity. He took every risk in order to help the Syrian people to remove some of their tragedy, to offer them some relief. He's one of our American brothers. We have his parents here, Mr. and Mrs. Kasich, Ed and Peter. I give you a warm welcome while we offer our sorrow, grief, and deepest condolences on the loss of this great hero, this man who carried in his heart the principles of Islam even before becoming a Muslim. Because Islam and humanity can never be against each other. Islam and human rights can never clash. God does not preach hatred. God is against oppression. Oppression is non-Islamic, is against Islam, against God, and has no religion. In a beautiful divine statement related by our beloved Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, Allah says, O my servants, addressing all humanity, oppression is forbidden. Oppression is forbidden. I make it forbidden. يا عبادي إني حرمت الظلم على نفسي. I make it forbidden between all of you. Do not wrong each other. Do not oppress each other. يا عبادي إني حرمت الظلم على نفسي وجعلته بينكم محرما فلا تظالموا. Just to mention, the narrators of this hadith who picked it up and heard it from the Messenger of Allah, all later on dwelled in Syria and in Damascus. It is Abu Darda, the famous Sahabi who was married to another great female teacher, Ad-Darda, was one of the example women in the history of Islam as a teacher. He moved to Syria and lived in Damascus and taught the prophetic tradition in the Grand Umayyad Mosque. And he taught that hadith in Damascus. Oppression is forbidden. It can never be accepted. I do not think that or imagine a human being accepting oppression. Abdul Rahman was named Peter by birth, did not accept oppression. He closed his eyes, as he said, once, and could not close his eyes again when he saw the suffering of the Syrian people. This is when he was in Lebanon, he wrote. So he moved to Syria. What was happening to the Syrian people that pushed an American who was not even interested in Islam at that time, pushed him to help the Syrian people? Up till now, statistics speak. Half of the Syrian population are homeless, displaced. 9 million Syrian people are homeless, displaced. 4 million live in refugees camps. 200,000 people in Syria have been killed for over 3 years. 500,000 Syrian people have been injured. 13,000 kids have been killed. And thousands of women have been raped by the Assad regime. That was the start and the head of the snake. That was the cause of the suffering of the Syrian people, which pulled many, many good people, including Steve, James, people from the UK, people from Sweden and France, came to help the Syrian people because of what they witnessed. It was wrong. The world was silent. They could not accept the silence of the world. The silence of the world caused that what we see now, extremism spreading in Syria, people coming from all around the world claiming to take revenge from the Assad regime, but actually they want to fight the West on our land. Islam is very clear about who is our enemy. We see that Islam forbade killing. Murder is a capital crime. In the Quran, anyone who kills one soul is as he killed humanity altogether. And who makes or helps one human being, one soul live, is like how all humanity live and survive. It's very clear. This is not only limited to Muslims. Human beings are all equal. Outside a state of war, no one is to be killed. In a state of war, Islam sets forth ethics of war. Even in a state of war, the Prophet of Islam instructed his people, never kill a woman, never kill a child, never kill a religious person, never attack a religious place, sawma'a, in the word of the Prophet. These are norms. The Prophet of Islam received once two envoyés spécial, messengers, sent from the false prophet Musaylimah, who claimed to be a prophet and wanted to negotiate with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. He received them. They were offered security in Al-Madinah. They tried to negotiate with him, half-half or whatever. They found no answer. He said to them that messengers are not to be killed. Had it not been like that, I would have killed you. But messengers are not to be killed. That was the tradition before Islam. Islam emphasized on this very important principle, respect of people who work for peace. Even during war times, messengers, news reporters now, are like messengers telling the world the truth. News reporters in Syria have been helping the Syrian people, showing the tragedy of the Syrian people to the world. What wrong did they do so that they are captured? Aid workers, Abdul Rahman, rahimahullah, Allah have mercy on him, wanted to put his expertise in medical help in order to help the Syrian people. He helped thousands. But also, he trained over 100 people. And this is the work that will be going on and on and on, accumulating rewards in his annals until the end of time. He'll be earning rewards because he trained over 100 Syrians how to do this work, helping when an area is under shelling, when people are injured, how to organize the work for medical aid. This is an area which our people needed very, very much. So in Islam, there's no difference. When the Quran speaks about killing a believer, we see the Prophet of Islam sallallahu alayhi wa sallam talking about killing any other citizen, any other visitor. So killing tourists is non-Islamic. Killing people when you visit a country and live in that country because they are non-Muslims is non-Islamic, is a capital crime. مَنْ قَتَلَ مُعَاهِدًا لَمْ يَرِحْ رَائِحَةَ الْجَنَّةِ. Anyone who kills a person under contract, under covenant, under a treaty. Muslims in the United States here live, have to respect the law and the constitution of this country. They are here because of a contract to respect the law of this country, and they are also respected and given equal opportunities and equal rights like other citizens of this country. The same one we receive in the Islamic world, in any country in the Islamic world, we receive visitors of any country of the world. There are diplomatic relationships, there are international treaties. Muslims respected this from early days. Actually, you would be surprised. When Muslims were oppressed in Mecca, this is a long time before the migration of Al-Madinah and the establishment of the Al-Madinah society. Muslims were a couple of hundreds in Al-Madinah, and they were oppressed by their own people, the pagans of Mecca. The Prophet of Islam told them, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, إِنَّ بِالْحَبَشَةِ مَلِكًا لَا يُظْلَمُ عِنْدَهُ أَحَدٍ. In Abyssinia, which is east of Sudan and Ethiopia now, There is a king who does not oppress anyone. Look at the definition the Prophet provided. There is a king who does not oppress anyone. Go there. They went, including the daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ruqayya, and his son-in-law Uthman ibn Affan, his milk brother Uthman ibn Maz'un, his cousin, first cousin Abdullah ibn Ja'far ibn Abi Talib. They went and lived in Abyssinia for a number of years, first group and second group. Why? What was the definition? Because there is there a king who does not oppress anyone. And this is the principle. Justice is the principle on which the United States was established. And it should continue defending this principle. Even when its government loses track sometimes, we see people like Abdul Rahman, Peter Kasich, carrying the banner and going to Syria to defend justice and help the Syrian people. Brothers and sisters, extremism knows no color and no religion. What happened to Abdul Rahman is beyond imagination. We can't believe it. But the question, is this Islamic? Definitely not. Does this group belong to Islam? No, it does not. ISIS, or what is called Islamic State, is anti-Islam, against Islam, non-Islamic, and will be punished in the hellfire for every crime they commit. Because, and here is the example which our brother Abdul Rahman set forth. I believe his conversion to Islam, which came out of his free will and understanding of this great religion, was to prove after his killing that these people are non-Muslims. Because in Islam, whatever someone has committed before conversion to Islam is all erased. When becoming a Muslim, all sins are erased. This is an Islamic principle that is agreed upon in all schools of law. Let me give you a few examples from the life of the Prophet of Islam, peace be upon him. You all understand that the uncle of the Prophet was killed in a battle of Uhud. And this is Hamza ibn Abdul Muttalib. Who killed him? It was Wahshi, a man called Wahshi, was hired specially to kill the uncle of the Prophet. Wahshi lived later on. There was also something else. Hind bint Utba, wife of the leader of Quraysh, then Abu Sufyan, it chewed the liver of the uncle of the Prophet. Cut his body and chewed the liver, deformation of the body. When the Prophet of Islam entered Mecca, victorious, great triumph, the Meccans couldn't resist. The Prophet ordered that no one should be killed and Muslims enter peacefully. The people of Mecca, who oppressed Muslims for 13 years in Mecca and fought against the Prophet of Islam for 10 years in Al-Madinah. The Prophet is entering now with 10,000 people, a huge army, fully armed. They were expecting the Prophet to take revenge from them. What did he do? He said, general amnesty for all of his enemies. General amnesty, pardoned them all, despite all of the suffering of Muslims, including the killer of his uncle and the lady who chewed the liver of his uncle. And both of them became great Muslims, and they were welcomed in the Muslim community. Abu Sufyan himself, the leader of the enemies of the Prophet of Islam, became a great man of Allah, a great man of Islam, and the Prophet honored him and gave him great testimonies. That is the way of Islam, the way of mercy, the way of pardoning. Allah says, describing the Messenger of Islam, we've not sent you but as mercy to the worlds, to bring mercy to the worlds. When the Prophet prohibited killing animals, cutting trees, or contaminating water, he would not encourage killing any human being. Islam is the religion of love and mercy and peace. And anything else you see, encouraging killing is non-Islamic. In a state of war, sometimes some people may be pushed to war, but war has its own ethics. The Prophet of Islam says in a beautiful statement, أَرْرَحِمُونَ يَرْحَمُهُمُ الرَّحْمَانِ إِرْحَمُوا مَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ يَرْحَمُكُمْ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاءِ. Allah shows mercy to those who are merciful. If you want to receive divine mercy, be merciful to people. In another way, in as much as you are merciful to God's creation, you receive divine mercy, you're entitled to the divine mercy. Then, مَنْ لَا يَرْحَمْ لَا يُرْحَمْ. Who does not show mercy to people will never receive mercy from Allah on the Day of Judgment. These people, this group of gangsters have come from all around the world to exercise a type of Islam that is never known to us in Syria or to Sunni Muslims around the world. And I'm sure that everyone of you here who has come from with a history or his family, descends from India or from Malaysia or from Morocco, this type of Islam ISIS is practicing is alien to all of us. We inherited from our ancestors living together with non-Muslims, honoring them. This is a long tradition. Muslims and non-Muslims lived together, side by side. Damascus was an example of living together. Those of you who traveled in Damascus know that the Grand Umayyad Mosque is in central Damascus, around it in less than a quarter of a mile. You see the Shiite community, the Christian community, the Jewish community, all their quarters are around the Umayyad Mosque. We lived side by side, they practiced, they were doctors, merchants, business people, they practiced, we lived together. There was no tension even between us. If you want back in history, let me tell you how the Prophet of Islam himself honored people of Al-Madinah, the Jewish people of Al-Madinah, when they were at peace and there was no war. A Jewish boy helped him and he went to visit him when the boy was sick in his home. Sufyan al-Thawri, one of the great figures of Islam, died around the year 780 AD, and this is around 160 after Hijra. Sufyan al-Thawri was a great Gnostic, a great Mujtahid, a great authority in the prophetic tradition. He was called the Prince of the Believers for his vast knowledge. He was ill. He wanted doctors. Who was practicing medicine then? Jewish people. Non-Muslims were best in the practice of medicine. Now, one of the top Muslim scholars and saints is visited by two Jewish doctors. They examined him, they left. One of his students asked the patient, Imam Sufyan, who is better amongst them in medicine? Imam Sufyan said, I would not say who is better in fear of backbiting them. Backbiting, speaking ill in the back of someone, is an Islamic principle that is prohibited. And people think that this is only prohibited against Muslims and you may practice it against non-Muslims. No. You go to the books of law, you will find that backbiting non-Muslims is a sin as backbiting Muslims. You're living together in the society, you can't establish peace in the society if you do not respect each other. This is why in the Hanafi books, a book called Al-Ashbah wal-Nadha'ir, you find, for example, that telling a non-believer living with you in the same society as you are a non-believer is forbidden in Islam. You do not go in the morning and in the evening. You're not supposed to insult people or cause them any harm, not even to annoy them. The truth is self-evident. Everyone knows the truth. It's their job to search for it. And this is what Peter did and became Abdul Rahman and chose this beautiful name, Servant of the Most Merciful. It shows to you, his choice of the name for me is amazing. He chose this name. He was Servant of the Most Merciful. You see how much mercy he carried in his heart to the world. He saw an opportunity, a window in Syria. He wanted it to go out. He let it out. And by this, Abdul Rahman set forth an example of great sacrifice. He became a hero, not only in the eyes of his family. I would like to give really great credit to his parents, who supported him, not only in going to Syria for his choice to help the Syrian people, but also supported him in his choice of becoming a Muslim. And this shows to us the real freedom of religion and the real American society, which is based on free choice. You choose your religion, no one goes against you. You choose your own ideology, no one goes against you. We need this harmony between the American people, including Muslims, to be really strong, so that when Muslims go around, they find the first supporters, the first people who work with them and welcome them are the Christians of this country, the Jewish people of this country, the atheists of this country, the Buddhists of this country. Because America is based on freedom and justice. Abdul Rahman was the servant of the most merciful. We need to give him credit for his work and for his sacrifice. And this is by making prayers for him from now till the end of time. And I tell you, Ed and Paula, I tell you both that your son will be remembered forever. Remembered by the Syrian people for his sacrifice. We will never forget him. Someone has come from America to help us in Syria. We will never forget him, regardless of religion. Now, as a Muslim, let me tell you that he'll be remembered by 1.5 billion Muslims around the world. Because he chose to embrace Islam and prove to the world that these criminals in ISIS are anti-Islam, against Muslims, non-Muslims. They killed him. What basis, what justification would they have for killing a Muslim brother who just embraced Islam and had all his sins, if he ever committed any sin of the past, had all his sins erased? No human being would accept such a crime. It won't be justified. Oppression does not justify oppression. If these individuals coming from France, from the States, from Tunisia, from other countries, if these individuals were oppressed in their own countries, or were subject to poverty or unemployment or something, nothing in Islam justifies a crime. This is a Quranic principle. This is a Quranic principle that says, وَلَا تَزِرُ وَازِرَةٌ وِزْرَ أُخْرَى. No crime, no person who commits the crime, no person who has not committed the crime should be held responsible for a crime another person committed. كُلُّ نَفْسٍ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ رَهِينَةٌ. As Allah says in the Quran, every soul is bound by its own earnings, by its own deeds. ISIS is against Islam. We Sunnis from all around the world are against ISIS. The media should hear this. The American people should learn this. The ulama, the clergy men of Sunni Islam from all around the world are against ISIS. We condemn ISIS. And We want to put an end to it. Its ideology is very weird and very alien to Sunni Islam, who established mercy, peace, love, and more important, coexistence and harmony between all societies. We're not at war as Muslims and Sunni Muslims with the United States of America. We're not at war with the West. There are treaties to be respected, and anyone traveling in the West or living in the West or traveling in the Islamic world or living in the Islamic world, his blood and his wealth and his freedom should be respected. This is Islam. This is what you find in the books of Islamic law in the four Sunni schools of law. Allow me, with these very final few minutes, brothers, sisters, guests, priests, and especially Mrs. and Miss Cassie, allow me to offer my deepest condolences, sorrow, and grief. We share with you these difficult moments and days. A loss of a son is not an easy thing, but we are all servants of God. We all belong to Allah. We all belong to God, and to Him is our return. Everything that comes to us from God is a divine gift. In it, we find sweetness. We find all rewards from Allah hidden for us for another day, for afterlife. We know that Abdul Rahman Peter Cassick left this world, but for a better world. He left this world with good deeds, indeed, with great deeds, acts of championship. But we need to ask ourselves, what good are we doing to the world so that when we leave, people have mercy upon us? That is the main question. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah al-azim li wa lakum wa li sa'ir al-muslimin. Astaghfiruhu yaghfir lakum fa ya fawza al-mustaghfirin. Astaghfirullah. الحمد لله حمدا كثيرا كما أمر وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له إقرارا بربوبيته وإرغاما لمن جحد به وكفر وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله أفضل الخلق والبشر صلى الله عليه وعلى آله ما اتصلت عين بنظر وسمعت أذن بخبر عباد الله اتقوا الله تعالى فيما أمر وانتهوا عما نهاكم عنه وزجر واعلموا أن الله تعالى أمركم بالصلاة على نبيه في كتابه الكريم فصلوا عليه تكونوا من الفائزين اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت وسلمت وباركت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد وارض اللهم عن الصحابة والقرابة والتابعين وتابعيهم ومقلديهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات إنك يا مولانا سميع قريب مجيب للدعوات اللهم إنا نسألك إيمانا دائما ويقينا صادقا وقلبا خاشعا وعلما نافعا ولسانا ذاكرا ودعاء متقبلا وشفاء من كل داء اللهم يسر لنا أمورنا مع الراحة لقلوبنا وأبداننا والسلامة والعافية في دنيانا وديننا اللهم إنا نسألك موجبات رحمتك وعزائم مغفرتك والغنيمة من كل بر والسلامة من كل إثم والفوز بالجنة والنجاة من النار أو الله We extend our hands to you on this day with this blessed gathering, beseeching you, asking you out of your mercy to envelop our brother Abdul Rahman Cassick with your mercy. Have on him your infinite mercy. Make his grave wherever he is a piece of the garden. Have the angels washing him. Have the angels visiting him in his grave. Grant him the best rewards. Grant him the highest ranks in the heavens. Make him in the heavens in company with the beloved, the messenger, the seal of all prophets, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. O Allah, we ask you to bless his parents, to bless his community, to grant them enough patience and forbearance to deal with this great loss and calamity. We ask you to reward all people who are helping the Syrian. Syrians are in tragedy and many are helping them. O Allah, reward all of these who are helping them. We ask you to grant immediate release for all the captives and prisoners in Syria, whether with the Assad regime or with ISIS. There are a lot of people, priests in captive. There are reporters in captive from around the world. O Allah, we ask you, we pray to you that you set them free. Put mercy in the hearts of their enemies. O Allah, help all people in need around the world. Help the Syrians get rid of this tyranny. And help us in Syria to establish peace again, love and mercy, so that Abdul Rahman is happier when he sees us and look at us in Syria. O Allah, reward people in this community, in this mosque, in this Al-Huda Foundation for all the good they have done and for this blessed gathering and for all the support they have provided for the Kasik family and for his community, and reward all people from all faith who have shown solidarity to us Muslims and to us Syrians in this, on this day and coming days and before. They set for us an example of solidarity, love. O Allah, reward them all, bless them all. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ibadallah. Inna Allah ya'muru bil adli wal ihsani wa ita'i dhil qurba wa yanha 'anil fahsha'i wal munkari wal baghi ya'idhukum la'allakum tadhakkarun. Aqim as-salah.
Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. I would like to express our thanks to our Sheikh who flew all the way from Washington to be with us today, and I would like to thank him for the beautiful words of condolences he has offered our community and the family of Peter Kasik. I would like to thank everybody who came today for this important event, and would like to offer our deepest condolences, heartfelt condolences to the family of Abdul Rahman Kasik. In a few minutes we'll be offering the funeral prayer, but before we do that I would like to let you know that in honor of the request of the parents of Peter and his role into the medical help to provide support for SAMS, our community will offer a gift of $10,000 in his legacy and honor to be given to SAMS and to continue this important and needed effort to help the Syrian people, the injured, and the people who need any type of help. And we will continue to support that cause at Al-Huda, the cause that he died for, which is to end the suffering of the Syrian people. So now, without further wait, we will be doing the janazah prayer.
أعدوا لمثل هذا اليوم عدته حاسبوا أنفسكم قبل أن تحاسبوا وزنوا أعمالكم قبل أن توزن عليكم. Reckon yourself before you are reckoned. Weigh your works in this life before they are weighed in next life. funeral prayer for our brother, Abdul Rahman Peter Kasik. This is the intention. In absentia, Salatul Ghaib, wherever he is.
Allahu Akbar.